In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Have you ever thought about the true defining difference between right and left? It comes down to one thing. It's power and what they do with it. Power is also the difference between patriots and the deep state. Those on the right will pursue power, but they do it to take power from the government and give it to the people. The right is about smaller, less powerful government, where people have more freedom and liberty to follow the pursuit of happiness without government blocking the way. Those on the left want power for themselves and to accumulate more of it. They will then use the government as the means to get even more power. And that's how you know who the true patriots are. Do they want power for the individual, or do they want power for the government? That was the essence of patriotism in 1776. There was another name for their opponents, loyalists. Loyal to the crown, not to their fellow Americans. Today's deep state are the loyalists of the 21st century. Speaking of the deep state, today we're going to be talking with Dr. Jerome Corsi about his new book, Killing the Deep State. And then we're going to be talking with Ted Nugent, the famous rock star who was also a superstar for the Second Amendment. Dr. Jerome Corsi is joining us now. He is a political commentator and best-selling author. He co-authored the number one New York Times bestseller, Unfit for Command, which exposed John Kerry. His most recent book, just released, is Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump. Dr. Corsi, it's good to talk to you again. Welcome to the show.
Great to be back with you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd actually like to start talking about your current book by referring to your book back in 2008. You wrote The Obama Nation, Leftist Politics and the Cult of Personality. And you really wrote that for people to understand, truly understand who Barack Obama was and who he hung out with. Did your research back then put you on the trail of the deep state?
Oh, I think so, yes. I believe I've been on the trail for quite a while, and all the books I've written, it's gotten more and more clear to me there's a shadow government. And really, I've had a number of New York Times bestsellers, but already this book, Killing the Deep State, it's hit number one in various categories in Amazon. I think people are really hungry for the truth about Donald Trump, not just the deep state, but Donald Trump. And that's why they're turning to this book, Killing the Deep State.
Your research for that previous book, let me say that again. Did your research for that previous book on Obama lead you to conclude more that Obama was a puppet master, or was he the puppet? And has your opinion changed since that 2008 book?
Well, it's kind of a combination. I think Barack Obama, I've felt for a long time, has been a CIA creation. I mean, we don't have the official records of any kind on Barack Obama, including the original 61 birth records, which we've never seen. No. Through his grade school and David College and Harvard grades. I mean, we don't know who paid for his schooling. All these issues. And then John Brennan in his private security firm turns out to be the one who goes in and gets the passport for Obama and sanitizes it, and then ends up head of the CIA. I mean, I think one of the shocking things, one of the reasons I wrote Killing the Deep State is I wanted to show how this deep state continues to operate, that there's smoking gun evidence now against the FBI. And when you read this book, you're going to be stunned, because it was clear the deep state has now pulled off or attempted to pull off an actual coup d'etat attempt to prevent Donald Trump from being president.
Yeah. Well, that 2008 book, when you wrote it, of course, Obama wasn't in office just yet. But then we had 8 years of him. And so he was then able to fill a lot of these positions with his own appointees, which include a lot of members of the deep state, John Brennan, of course, among them. So is Trump, now that he's president, is he making a mistake not getting rid of all of those Obama appointees who are still in key positions in the FBI, State Department, and CIA, and so forth? Or are his hands tied? Or is he simply trying to smoke them out?
Well, it's a combination. I mean, you've got these special SES employees that, since the Carter Law allowed these special executive appointees in the various agencies to be better, even more protected than civil service. They can't be fired at all, and that's a problem for President Trump. And just take a look at all these agencies. They have these hard left ideologues, this New World Order mentality, and they're filled with bureaucracy. I think I point specifically to the CIA, the Justice Department, the FBI, the IRS, but the other agencies as well. And I also build a compelling case in Killing the Deep State that Barack Obama continues to secretly work behind the scenes to oust President Trump. It's like Obama and Hillary, to some extent, are still, but mostly Obama, the wizard behind the screen.
Yeah.
And he's got a couple of key operatives, including Valerie Jarrett and others like George Soros, who are working night and day to try to control the mainstream media narrative and to get a cause to either have an impeachment proceeding against Donald Trump or declare him mentally incompetent under the 25th Amendment or some way or other. This deep state is desperate to remove Donald Trump from the presidency.
Yeah. Well, Jeff Sessions, people seem to take one of two views on him, that he's either completely incompetent at his job or that he's this mastermind slowly grinding the wheels of justice and that he's trying to cross every T and dot every I before he makes any moves. What do you personally think about Sessions, and what has your research revealed?
Well, to some extent, he is proceeding. I mean, he's got some 27 investigations Jeff Sessions does going against leaks. He's brought in an outside from Washington prosecutor to look at the FISA court abuses from the previous administration. He is working actively with Arkansas to investigate the Clinton Foundation. There's a lot of activity going on, but I still think that the key breakthrough, and what I point out in Killing the Deep State, is that if President Trump could now get Mueller, the special prosecutor, under investigation himself, perhaps for the Uranium One cover-up on the bribery that was done by the Russians that was kept from this committee, the CFIUS Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, that voted to allow Hillary to architect the sale of Uranium One to Russia. If Mueller could be brought to task for that and be notified he was subject of a grand jury investigation, I think it would facilitate or necessitate Mueller's resignation. And so I'm basically kind of as well impatient with Sessions. And I point out in Killing the Deep State that people like Rob Rosenstein and others who are still there are clearly deep state operatives who are, again, very subtly working to keep Hillary and Obama's hopes of this coup d'etat alive. So it's a combination, but in Killing the Deep State, I point out that Donald Trump's got to get more aggressive, and I'm anticipating and recommending a counterattack in which Donald Trump really takes hold of the government and begins cleaning out the Department of Justice, which would include Rosenstein and a bunch of others.
Yes, I would absolutely love to see that. Let's go and take a break. Coming back, we'll have more with Dr. Jerome Corsi, Killing the Deep State, the fight to save President Trump. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Dr. Jerome Corsi. His new book is just out, Killing the Deep State, the fight to save President Trump, on Amazon. And, this is a really fascinating discussion. It's also very frightening, quite frankly, that you've got a counter movement here within our own government that's trying to sabotage a duly elected president. But it's much more than that. In terms of your research, though, was there anything especially scary about the deep state that you discuss in your book? Can you give us a taste on that?
Well, yes. I mean, I point out clearly in this whole conspiracy that it went on behind the scenes to get Donald Trump. In Killing the Deep State, I point out that no hesitation to lie. I mean, it was particularly frightening that this Fusion GPS dossier that was paid for in part by Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC services at the Department of Justice that is used as the basis to get electronic surveillance of Donald Trump's campaign. Without representing to the FISA court that no one at the FBI can validate the authenticity of this Fusion dossier, the court's not told this, that's a crime. And then the information from this electronic surveillance, ultimately, it's not just Carter Page, but everybody Carter Page talks to collaterally, and those names get to the White House and they're unmasked. It's no longer person A, person B, but it's Jeff Sessions and this member and everybody identified by name in the Trump campaign. And then Valerie Jarrett begins to orchestrate those names being leaked to the press, I'm sure with President Trump's approval. Now, the shocking thing about this, and I point out in Killing the Deep State, is this all amounts to treason. This is a this is an attempt to deny Donald Trump the right to run an election without being impeded by the other party through electronic surveillance. Never happened before in U.S. history. And then once he won the election and won the vote in the Electoral College, trying to impeach him on false pretenses. I mean, it's really shocking. What I point out in Killing the Deep State is that this deep state apparatus, holdovers, you know, loyal to Obama, loyal to Hillary, and to this new world order beyond America, beyond the Constitution, feel that they can lie, cheat, steal, commit crimes, all justified in order to defeat Donald Trump. I mean, would they stop at assassination?
Yeah.
And I warned Donald Trump that that's a serious enough threat that increasingly I see Donald Trump being protected by the Marines, and I think that that's a very good idea.
Oh, absolutely. I certainly think that if they're willing to do what they've done already that we know about, I mean, why would assassination be so far out of the realm of believability? You know, you bring up an interesting point because you get people like Comey and McCabe and Bruce Orr and Peter Strzok and his mistress, and they see themselves as true patriots, you know, the guardians of America. Do you think that they really honestly see themselves as those true patriots, or are they merely power hungry and just in it for themselves?
I think there's a self-delusional impact that occurs, and you see it. I read a whole chapter in Killing the Deep State about how the Democratic Party has gone what I either call hard left or hate left, that they are like a European socialist or communist party. They're intolerant. Mm-hmm. Once they've concluded that their political positions are right, anyone who disagrees with them needs to go to a Maoist thought reform camp, like in the Cultural Revolution. They don't want a First Amendment. They don't want freedom of religion. They don't want freedom of speech. These deep staters, the Obama-Clinton cadres, don't want a Second Amendment. They don't want a Fourth Amendment. They think it's just fine to invade your privacy with massive surveillance by the NSA and the CIA, and they justify all this in that they are the true believers of the New World Order future, which they want to rewrite the Constitution or abandon the Constitution, join international trade organizations, and have the UN and other international organizations have their laws supersede U.S. law. That's not a vision that the true American patriots who voted Donald Trump into office have. And
no.
I point out in Killing the Deep State that this leads these really criminals and traitors within the bureaucracy, entrenched in the bureaucracy, to be a dangerous force. And that's why I titled the book Killing the Deep State, because that's what Donald Trump has to do.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's not just exposing the deep state. It's certainly about killing it. I think that most people believe that the deep state wanted Hillary to win because that side just liked her better, you know, because she was a Democrat or they agree with her policies and so on. And in that sense, they were just like regular voters, you know, just they happen to be in a position of power. But that's just the surface layer. It's called the deep state because it goes much deeper than that. There are many more layers. And because within your book, you uncover that the deep state wanted her because she saw Russia and China as enemies, and that they were confident that she could continue this perpetual war, that she feeds the banks and feeds the military-industrial complex. Talk to us about that. Are there yet even more layers here why the deep state wanted Hillary?
Well, and it's always been a surprise to me, but the Democrats now are like wanting to go to war against Russia. And this, like the New World Order, think that a nuclear war, they'll survive, the elite will survive, but it's okay if two-thirds of us, we're just useless eaters, get killed or reduce the populations. I mean, this, as I point out in Killing Deep State, this is a very deep problem in the establishment. I mean, so far, my book has been banned by all the networks. I'm not going to get on ABC, NBC, CBS, even CNN and MSNBC aren't going to cover Killing the Deep State. It's one of the best-selling books written on the Trump presidency. At one point, I was already achieved number one in various categories on Amazon, yet they won't even give me an interview. I believe they're afraid of the book.
Oh, absolutely. Although I bet you're probably not going to do any book signings at the CIA either. So
probably not. No, but and also I don't think it's any coincidence that just as my book is released, you got former FBI Director James Comey, his book's coming out,
yeah. And
I'm sure he's going to portray himself as a victim. And
that, oh, absolutely.
You know, he was, and the press are going to focus on him and his allegations. They're basically, the mainstream media is afraid of my book, Killing the Deep State. They don't want it discussed. They don't want it sold. They don't want it displayed in the bookstores. And this is the control that the deep state apparatus has, this New World Order crowd has, to make sure that, you know, the average American is dumbed down and not allowed to engage in, you know, their own free thinking.
That's right.
But yet, yeah, I believe the message of Killing the Deep State is going to resonate deeply with an American patriot. And despite being blocked by the mainstream media, I think the book is going to become a bestseller.
Oh, yeah, I would certainly think so. And I think the fact that they're trying to ignore you and doing everything they can to sabotage that success tells me you're hitting the right notes. So everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Dr. Jerome Corsi, Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Dr. Jerome Corsi. His new book has just been released, Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump. And it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and anywhere where books are sold. You know, you had brought up a really interesting point there. And, well, within your book, you expose the identity of U.S.-based terror groups spearheading anti-Trump efforts. I mean, it reminded me so much of previous interviews we've had with a former cultural jihadist who claims that Muslims are working their way and have worked their way into the FBI and the CIA, and it's all just part of a larger plot by Islamic extremists, and they're now in key positions. And he's also said that the deep state not only encouraged that, but they welcome them because those Muslims also want to control and destroy America. Why are they not being ferreted out?
Well, as I point out in the, you know, in Killing the Deep State, in my book, the Obama administration packed CIA, State Department, Justice Department with Muslims, various radical kinds, Muslim Brotherhood in particular, Huma Abedin, who was a top advisor to Hillary Clinton as in Secretary of State, was also Muslim Brotherhood by her family.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole alliance, this unholy alliance between the hard left, the hate left, which wants to destroy Constitutional Republic of America, I can't stand it, and then Muslims who are radicalized extremist terrorists or on the verge of terrorists have formed a union to destroy the United States. And this is an alliance that President Obama and Hillary Clinton fostered. You can see it in the destabilization of Libya, the attempt to get Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. I mean, I in Killing Deep State, I give numerous examples of it and point out clearly that it's one of the obstacles that President Trump is going to have to overcome. The first thing is for him, for President Trump to survive this attempt to remove him from office with Robert Mueller. And I believe the Russian collusion narrative has now been shown to be a lie.
Yes.
But it's propaganda, and it can't be defeated with the truth. I mean, if you say, well, there's no evidence of Russian collusion, Robert Mueller just says, well, I have to keep looking. I haven't found it yet. So, you know, the point is, what I advise in the book and what I'm doing and trying to do and Killing the Deep State to save President Trump is to undermine the credibility of these deep state critics. I mean, when you read the text messages of Peter Strozek and Lisa Page in the FBI and McCabe's office and how they hate Donald Trump and they want an insurance policy to be able to impeach him if he does happen to win, the catastrophe happens, and they're willing to lie with the Fusion GPS dossier to do that. When you see the attempt to use Carter Page, this fringe member of the Trump campaign, to get only on him FISA court approval to do electronic surveillance. And Carter Page, by the way, had worked with the FBI 5 years before in a similar operation. It looks like he's an inside, undercover Department of Justice agent. And so Carter Page goes and he talks to Jeff Sessions and talks to all the people in Trump's campaign under the collateral rules of FISA war wiretapping, electronic surveillance. They're all under electronic surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
And then the names get over to the White House, and instead of being person one, person two, Valerie Jarrett gets the real names of all the people under electronic surveillance and starts leaking to the press during the campaign. I mean, this is outrageous. It's an attempt to get inside information on your opponent's campaign. It's completely violating any number of laws. It's a treasonous activity. And what I'm pointing out in Killing the Deep State is once the American people realize this, once it's seen, then it's apparent that the Russian collusion, which was never, by the way, a crime, is a created, made-up, whole-cloth narrative.
Yes.
That Hillary and her associates, Obama, and the hard-left Democrats were using to advance their coup d'etat, to commit treason and sedition, and to undermine the Constitutional Republic, which was their goal. And had Hillary won, I think we'd be far down the road, as I point out, in Killing the Deep State. I think this is the reason why so many efforts are being made to keep my book off of ABC, NBC, out of the New York Times. It'll never be reviewed in the New York Times, even if it's the number one New York Times bestseller.
All right, everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Jerome Corsi, author of Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump. Did you know that criminal aliens are able to hide in plain sight in our neighborhoods because of sanctuary policies that protect them from federal immigration authorities? That's right. Oregon law provides special protections to criminal aliens who are in our country illegally. Help repeal Oregon's sanctuary law by signing the petition so voters can decide. Go to StopOregonSanctuaries.org. Print, sign, and mail. It's that easy. Be a part of the solution to repeal Oregon's sanctuary law. Go to StopOregonSanctuaries.org today. Did you know a handful of legislators in Salem and Governor Kate Brown decided Oregon should be a sanctuary state? Shouldn't we, the people, get a say in that? Well, you can help get the initiative on the ballot so voters can decide. Head to StopOregonSanctuaries.org and sign the petition. That's StopOregonSanctuaries.org. We're talking today with Dr. Jerome Corsi about his book, Killing the Deep State. You know, you were talking about the media trying to keep your book off ABC and other mainstream outlets, and the media is so compliant in all of this. And it's just astonishing when you really think about it, because it really does represent a real danger to America, you know, regardless of whether you like Trump or not. I mean, just think now if Trump was to turn around and do this and start using the federal government to investigate his political opponents or investigate members of the media like we know Obama did. You know, if George W. Bush had used the federal government, including the FBI, the CIA, NSA, the FISA courts, to all spy on Barack Obama in order to try to get John McCain elected, I mean, does anyone honestly think the media would have been saying, oh, the Russians did it, or would people have been rightfully put in jail?
Well, and this is it. If the Democrats knew or found out, you know, look, I read a whole chapter in Killing the Deep State that it's Hillary and Podesta and Obama who were collaborating with Russia, that they were the ones who sold military technology, this hypersonic technology under reset. Hillary and Podesta sold it to Russia. Russia's now used it to build a nuclear weapon that we cannot shoot down with our anti-ballistic missile systems. They got paid for the uranium one. They got paid. I even give you the bank accounts and the offshore accounts that were set up by Russian oligarchs to pay John Podesta, and show you the stock he got and the sums of money. If you read Killing Deep State, you're going to be shocked at just the extent to which Putin owned Hillary and Podesta with money, millions of dollars, $147 million paid to the Clinton Foundation on the Uranium One deal alone. And yet they had Hillary and company had the audacity to suggest it was Donald Trump who was colluding with the Russians. The whole argument about stealing the DNC emails, which is where this comes from, all the evidence that's been legitimately done says it was an inside job, most likely done by Seth Rich. You know, it was CrowdStrike that said it was Russia when they initially examined it during the campaign. CrowdStrike is a company that Eric Schmidt of Google put $100 million into, and Eric Schmidt was Hillary's chief technology officer.
Yeah, Democrats investigating Democrats. We've only got about a minute here with you. It just seems like we've got to get to a tipping point here and start getting some of these people to flip. Do you think McCabe will flip on people?
I think if it's done correctly, and I think Donald Trump is now going to go on the offensive, a counteroffensive, counterattack is going to begin. And I think Donald Trump has telegraphed that by starting to call out Mueller by name and talk about conflicts of interest. So I think in the next few months, and it's going to probably take more than a year, but the tables are going to turn, and Donald Trump is going to bring indictments, including, I think, military tribunals that could charge Hillary and Obama with treason. I don't think Donald Trump is going to stop. And in my book, what I point out in Killing the Deep State is that Trump has already signed an executive order that gives him emergency powers. That when he signed on December 21st last year, giving him the right through the Treasury to confiscate the assets of people involved in human rights trafficking and corruption, and to call military tribunals to bring these people to justice.
Wow, that's
already signed and in effect.
Wow.
And I think it'll take about a year for Donald Trump to fully utilize it, but we're only at the beginning of this. And I wrote Killing the Deep State in order to shock America with the real evidence that they've been denied by the mainstream media, and to show you the inside plan Donald Trump plans to counterattack, and how and why he needs the support of everybody listening in order to save the constitutional republic.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just one real quick question. Do you think Trump really knew and understood what he was up against and what he would face with the deep state when he decided to run for office?
I don't think Donald Trump fully appreciated it. He knew he was up against the odds. I think Donald Trump has had to learn the extent of this deep swamp and the extent to which the creatures coming out of the deep swamp bite and fight to save their swamp. I'm betting on Donald Trump, and I think in my book, Killing the Deep State, lays out the plan that Donald Trump is going to use to bring these people to justice.
Wow. Well, that would be awesome. Dr. Jerome Corsi, I want to thank you so much for your time. Killing the Deep State, the fight to save President Trump.
Thank you very much, and you can get Killing the Deep State. It's available now everywhere. Just look for my last name, Jerome Corsi, C-O-R-S-I.
Thank you so much.
Catch you later. Bye.
And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking now to Ted Nugent. He is the Michigan rock star and political activist on the right side of the aisle, which means that he's out there fighting for the First and Second Amendments. Ted, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, my pleasure. Happy springtime to all my blood brothers in the Great Northwest.
Yeah, well, hey, it says here that you're a Michigan rock star. So does that mean you and Michael Moore hang out? You're best buds, right?
Oh, yeah, really. It's the yin and yang. The angels, Michael the Archangels, loves to hang out with the devils.
That's right, yeah.
No, he's a gift from God. You have to admit, if you want an enemy that defies truth, logic, common sense, goodwill, and decency, and personal hygiene, you would probably have God create Michael Moore for you, so we thank him every day for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he's such a dirtbag. I mean, who would you want to go against the self-evident truths that we stand up and fight for? Who would you want to better represent the other side than somebody like Michael Moore or Nancy Pelosi? Or how about Maxine Waters in her struggle to form a syllable? These people are gifts from God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, if Ahab needs a giant white whale, there you go, Michael Moore.
Well, let me tell you. I've been rocking and rolling and hunting and sharing campfires and truth, logic, and common sense with great American families for the last 50-plus years on the road, Mark. Mm. And the great Northwest really is still the great Northwest. And Michigan really is a red, working hard, playing hard, earn your own way, save for a rainy day, live within your means, be the best that you can be. It's alive well across this country, and I appreciate you standing up and shouting that loud and proud from your media mountaintop. You're my friend, man.
Well, thanks, man. We really appreciate that. And, you know, my wife is a native Oregonian, and she'll tell you that this used to be a very red state, you know, back when we actually had personal responsibility and we were out there harvesting the forests and everything else. You know, this was a very red state, but it's only when we had people moving in that thought government dependency was a better way to go that suddenly we lost that.
Well, Mark, I'm glad you have me on because I'm just a stupid guitar player. I not only wrote Wang Dang Sweet Poon Dang, I meant it. But the point being is that I still tour every summer and real music lovers show up and we have meetings. This year in 2018, Mark, I will perform my 6,700th concert. That's 6,700 concerts since about 1955, doing sock hops and pool parties in Detroit. And I've had hangouts and conversations and dialogue with great people and some not so great people, and it's real easy to differentiate between the two. But like we proved against all odds in November of 2016 in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania that were burdened with the most embarrassing claim in the world, and that is to be a reliably blue state like Oregon is now. Believe me, it's not the enemy that's the enemy. It's our own people that are apathetic and have their head up their ass and do not get out and vote that men and women of the military have died so that we can. So if you want to defy the embarrassment of a reliably blue state like we did in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania in 2016, then my blood brothers in the great Northwest of Oregon and beyond, you need to get out there. And I know McCain and Romney didn't deserve our vote, but now we've proven that if you don't vote for the Republican, you're going to usher in the devils like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. So we proved that in 2016. So the real curse is apathy, the disconnect, the laziness, the stupidity that thinks if you don't vote, that your vote, you know, won't go to the other side. And that's really what happened with Barack Obama. But we didn't do that with Hillary Clinton. So apathy is the biggest curse in America today, and it's self-inflicted.
It sure is. And you're absolutely right. Out here in Oregon, the blue counties just overwhelm us. And it's simply because, as you say, people are apathetic and they're not getting out there and voting like they need to. You know, we do have a campaign for governor this year, and we've got a real shot at flipping that from a very far left governor to, we've got a couple of really good conservatives out there, both in Sam Carpenter and also Greg Wooldridge. Let me describe some of the things that we're up against here, because last year here in Oregon, our far-left governor, Kate Brown, signed a gun confiscation law that allows for anyone who thinks that someone might pose a threat to themselves or others, they can come in and get a court order. It can be done ex parte, which means the person getting their guns removed isn't even there in the court to defend themselves. And they can just come in, show up on your doorstep and take your guns. That's what we have here.
Baby.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, but that's because she saw an environment that the conservatives and the real positive families of Oregon that are in the asset column, they failed to send a signal and deliver a we the people voice that we won't stand for that kind of stuff, because that is a violation of her oath to the Constitution. And any law enforcement warriors out there, or otherwise, but people in law enforcement that would enforce such a clear and unambiguous infringement would be violating their oath of office to the U.S. Constitution. Shame on them. But if I got to tell you, Mark, if that doesn't galvanize and unite the conservative voice, the constitutional voice of Oregon, then you're going to get what you deserve. But I'll tell you, I'm here. I'm cocked, locked, and ready to rock the Glock, Doc. If you need some help up there, I know that Oregon has been a again, what a curse, a reliably blue state. But I know that your population in the Great Northwest is not blue. In fact, I suppose the color would be yellow, because if you don't show up and perform your duty, not just your right to vote, that's your duty, that's your moral obligation. I know a bunch of flag-draped coffins that provided you that right. How dare you not put it to work and vote your conscience, vote the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Golden Rule, the Ten Commandments, good over evil, law and order. Hello? So if you don't get out there and vote in a conservative Republican, you'll get what you ask for and have a real nice socialist day.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunately, like you say, that's exactly what we've got here. And now she expanded it. Just last February, you know, just last month, I mean, they've now expanded that so that anybody that has like a prior restraining order or any kind of history of mental illness, guess what? They're going to come in and confiscate your guns as well. Let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll have more with Ted Nugent. Stay with us.
Our beautiful state of Oregon needs help. We have a growing list of problems while the bureaucracy in Salem chips away at our freedoms. There is a solution. A Republican, Sam Carpenter, wants to serve as our next governor. Sam has the knowledge, common sense, leadership, and determination to make Oregon great again. Your vote, May 15th, will do that. Help elect Sam Carpenter for governor. See him on the web at MakeOregonGreatAgain.com.
This is Sam Carpenter, and I approve this message. Paid for by friends of Sam Carpenter.
And welcome back. We're in our final segment now with Ted Nugent. He is the, well, you certainly know him as a rock star, but he's also out there as a First and Second Amendment advocate. If you have the Outdoor Channel, he's also got a TV show, Spirit of the Wild TV, that's on Tuesdays and Sundays. And we will have a bunch of links up on this week's show page for Ted Nugent, including his tour dates and much more. And, you know, what we were talking to during the break there, I just would love to get your thoughts on this, is that now Oregon is a sanctuary state. Thanks once again to the Oregon governor and some a small cabal of legislators there. And, you know, here we are. It seems to me we're actually advocating for lawbreaking.
Well, obviously, people with a modicum of education, which I qualify, and a heart and a soul and a conscience and a valve of right over wrong and good over evil and law and order, we are just aghast. We are heartbroken that our oath-violating elected employees dare give sanctuary to criminals. Because who would give sanctuary to criminals? Criminals. It's complicity. I mean, it really is a heartbreaking time. And I got to tell you, Mark, I just wrapped up the greatest hunting season of my life, not just because I got a lot of venison in the fridge, in the freezer, but because I shared campfires with men and women of the U.S. military, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the National Guard in like a dozen different states, members of the Delta Force and Army Rangers and Green Berets and Navy SEALs. I mean, the greatest people in the world, people that earn their own way. And we are just shattered that our elected employees would so flagrantly violate their oath to the Constitution, their oath of office, and offer sanctuary to illegal people. That's like, I don't know, it's like having a building next to the bank, and if you rob the bank, you can hide here and not get arrested.
Yeah.
I mean, we are just heartbroken and getting angrier by the day that this kind of sanctuary policy exists. So thank God we lead the way here in Texas, and we made it illegal to give sanctuary to illegal people. What a concept, huh?
Yeah, really. We're using the laws to protect lawbreakers. That's just boggles my mind. We just had this national walkout day after the school shooting in Florida where 17 kids were killed. Kids are now being brainwashed to say they want gun laws, that teachers shouldn't be armed. And then this week there's a school shooting and the armed school resource officer shot the shooter. I mean, didn't that just pop the left's entire reality balloon? I mean, isn't that the way it's supposed to work? An armed good guy stopping armed bad guys.
Well, all together now, as loud as possible. Duh. You just gotta be kidding me. It's almost like somebody threw us into the Planet of the Apes, flew over the cuckoo's nest, clockwork, dayglow, orange, Mad Magazine, Twilight Zone. I dare anybody listening right now, come to my Facebook. We have tens of millions of Facebookers. I dare anybody to write a law that would have stopped one of these school shootings, that would have stopped the slaughter with real AK-47s, real assault weapons in Paris. You don't think they have some laws on the books forbidding people to shoot people with machine guns in Paris, do you, Mark?
No, probably not one, yeah.
Somebody come up with a law that would stop this stuff, and I will be your slave forever. It's impossible. The only way to stop evil is to shoot them. And if you're unarmed and helpless and you dare to advertise a gun-free zone, you are throwing out the welcome mat for maniacs and devils. How dare we have gun-free zones when every one of these mass slaughters took place in a gun-free zone? Again,
yeah.
Mark, we have tens of millions of people come to my Facebook, and I lay it out. I've studied every one of these mass slaughters, and I know the answers, and political correctness and fake news and the brain-dead soullessness of liberalism and most of the Democrats deny the answers. And Marilyn, we showed you how to stop evil, and
that's
the policy we've got to demand from our elected employees. Case closed.
Yep, absolutely. Nobody has ever stopped a mass shooting by standing up and shouting, "Hey, we have gun laws, stop that." Doesn't work.
It's unbelievable. It's literally like you have to check your brain in at the door to have a D after your name.
Well, hey, we only got a couple of minutes here with you still. We'd like to talk about one of your real passions, which is Camp for Kids. Go ahead and tell our audience about that.
Well, we started the Ted Nugent Camp for Kids as a nonprofit, 100% volunteer charity way back in 1989, shortly after a great man named Fred Bear had passed away. And he was a conservation visionary and a great friend and hero to many of us that love the great outdoors and real conservation environmentalism, walking wild ground and monitoring the quality of our air, soil, and water based on the canary in the coal mine, which is wildlife, i.e. venison. And the Ted Nugent Camp for Kids teaches kids between 7 and 17 firearm safety, hunter safety, the mystical flight of the arrow, archery discipline, how to aim small, miss small, be the best that you can be, and that the American dream is only available if you're clean and sober. And we've graduated 16,000 kids from the Ted Nugent Camp for Kids. And now some of the parents bringing their kids were early kids at our camp. So
oh,
it's
cool
really
that.
A successful grassroots volunteer organization. People can find out about that on my Facebook and at my website. But what a great charity. And it is all because of the volunteers and the people who donate, Mark. And I just have a greasy rock and roll name on the top of it, but all the volunteers deserve the credit.
So do you actually get around to some of those camps? That'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah. I leave a mark. I mean, I bring my guitar and I scare the parents. Yeah, I've always live the hunting, fishing, trapping, outdoor lifestyle. That's why as I approach my 70th year, this year in 2018, I can still form cognitive thoughts over the telephone with you, not to be confused with some of my so-called peers, which, by the way, the main pulse of the Ted Nugent Camp for Kids is to teach that peer pressure is a lie. You need to stand your ground and be independent, be autonomous, make your own decisions, do right over wrong, and make smart choices, and you can have the American dream if you're clean and sober. So, yeah, I attend these camps, and I shoot the bows and arrows and the rifles and the handguns and the slingshots. We go fishing together, and we learn about real ecology, real environmentalism, hands-on, how to plant trees every spring and celebrate all four seasons as a lifestyle. And nature does heal, and nature will cleanse your soul, especially if you're a conscientious participant in the hunting, fishing, trapping lifestyle. So we've really saved a lot of kids' lives. And a lot of the kids, Mark, are from inner cities in difficult conditions. And a lot of our volunteers are military and law enforcement. So they find these special needs kids. And we literally change their lives.
Well, that just sounds absolutely awesome. And we'll make sure that we put links up to that on iSpyRadio.com. Ted Nugent, thank you so much for your time today. And thanks so much for what you do out there.
You bet. God bless America. God bless the great Northwest, man.
Thank you for joining today. We certainly hope that you're at least a little wiser for having been here. Speaking of hope, I hope that you'll visit iSpyRadio.com for the links to Ted Nugent's Camp for Kids, but also links about the Deep State, and to re-listen to Jerome Corsi on the Deep State and what Trump is up against. We'll have the podcast available on Monday. I was discouraged when Trump didn't veto the spending bill. Deeply discouraged. But hearing Dr. Corsi, it's a reminder this will be a long, hard fight. So take hope, and knowledge is power. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a faith that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.